For the thousands in the comments and the millions listening on YouTube Premium.
Folks, welcome to another episode of Knightro here on KnotFest.
and listen to what a beautiful theme. What a great theme.
That was the all-new official Knightro theme by our very own Jordan Olds.
Had to.
Incredible.
Putting
job.
Me out of work.
We gotta put the extended version right here that has like the weird like the little Megadeth riff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm into it.
Honestly, listening to the Knightro theme like isolated from all the explosions and stuff, it kind of goes.
Some riff, man.
Like 30 seconds in, that's a mosh part.
Yo, motherfuckers had riffs in 1995. That is scientific. They heard Master Killer and they were like, guys, we got to step it up for this. Okay? Master Killer exists.
There's literally a part of that song where it's just like, din-din-din-din-din-din-din-din-din-din-din. It's crazy.
Straight up some Sepultura shit. They knew what they were doing.
Absolutely simple to the shit.
And the pinch harmonics, the
I don't know where you get a distortion that sounds like that. That is like just a little bit of the highs and then mostly the muddiest mids you ever heard.
They were going for like a Pantera thing,
yeah.
But they had like somebody. They had Jimmy Hart mixing it, probably.
Yeah. It sounds like throwing a fax machine down the stairs. It's
terrible.
Crazy.
But
it's,
the riffs are sick.
I love it.
And you know what else was sick?
This episode.
This episode of Knightro is by far the best episode so far.
I'm going to
say. They figured it out by episode 5.
Here's the thing. Coming out the gate with maybe, I don't think that they're going to beat this Pepe outfit, guys.
The googly eyes.
You're right.
The springy eyeglasses on a chihuahua.
I was in heaven. Fucking crazy. You know, I was loving it. I ordered these googly eyes on Amazon right after this. Next episode, you will see Chili and some googly eyes right here.
Yeah, we need it. I need it. Chili needs to be in each of these episodes.
Yeah, then he's Chili's chilling and then he's fucking just, he'll be climbing me the whole time. But this episode starts with a bang. The commentary team is the booth is in front of the crowd.
They took my note. They got the best Pepe outfit. I feel like at this point, even if Pepe wasn't over with you, which is like, what kind of sociopath are you?
Yeah.
Like what this the is fuck? The week. This is the week where Pepe gets over with
it's
you.
It's like, oh, if this is a thing, this is going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And boy,
I love Bobby Heenan still calling Pepe a tarantula. Keeping that joke going.
Honestly. Keep it. He could say it a million times, and I'm never gonna get.
Yeah, Tarantula's good shit. It's this. They let us know right off the bat. Luger's career is on the line in the opening match. Ric Flair's pride is on the line.
Coked out Ric Flair interrupts.
Oh my god, dude! Responding to Arn's perfect promo with a perfect Ric Flair promo,
which is I did not understand a. I've never understood a word that outside the post Royal Rumble title win. I've never understood a word that Ric Flair has ever said in his.
You know who
life.
Else didn't? The live crowd, because this was on a headset and it was just for TV, and people it's were probably so watching funny. It like, "Yo, that's is that Ric Flair?"
Yeah.
That's crazy. Meanwhile, but we get to have a blast watching this thing.
Incredible.
They replay the I'm the biggest boy promo. The
it's like they're doing this for me.
About this podcast. They know they knew a headline. They were like, we got to bring back the biggest boy thing so that we can talk about
this. I want to make that my ringtone. You're looking at the biggest boy. There's no bigger boy.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable.
There's no bigger boy. That's the line. I'm sorry.
And then they play like the entire ending of last week's Knightro.
This
the
is a 43
thing.
Minute show, and 8 of those minutes is like, look what happened on the last 43 minute show.
Yeah.
What I really liked about this, looking back, like watching this 3 times now, the confrontation between Macho Man and Lex that kind of led to this feud happening.
Yeah.
the whole thing is about the slap, like that Macho Man slapped him. And you can tell so clearly that that was an ad lib on Macho Man's part because Lex wasn't matching his intensity.
Right.
Macho Man is running around the ring like, let me at him. And he's like, and Lex is just like, oh.
Yeah.
And then Macho Man realizes like, fuck, man. I'm like coming Come at on, you. Bro. You're supposed to be matching this. Slap gives him a little slap. And that is what goes on to create the story that we're now seeing. And that just shows the guy is a fucking artist.
He's an artist. He had to slap him, give him a little bit of the badness, that macho madness.
Like going, hey, man, we're fucking live.
That's a pro. That's a pro. That's how you use a shoot to get the work over. This person isn't matching me. I'm going to get him legit mad at me so he could match my energy here. Macho Man's the best. I want to quickly mention that I'm watching this match and I'm blown away at how perfect Macho Man is, which has been a theme of our show the last few weeks. And I couldn't believe that Vince McMahon thought that Macho Man was too old to compete.
Mm-hmm. I wrote that down.
In fact, I looked it up. Macho Man on this episode, 43 years old. Right now, modern day WWE, these are all wrestlers older than 43 years old. Rey Mysterio, R-Truth, John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Sheamus, Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, all at the top of the card, at the top of their game. No one would say they're too old right now. How could you? Now I'm like, can you imagine Macho Man in the like pre-attitude era or like Macho Man and Steve Austin or Macho Man and HBK?
Yo, can you imagine if Macho Man was still alive today doing like sting bumps on Dynamite?
He would still be doing that elbow drop.
That would be happening.
He would get like a robotic hip so he could keep doing the elbow drop.
And I feel like that maybe goes to show why the top guys are 43 years old now, you know? Mm-hmm, like, he's like, holy shit, I let Macho Man go, and he drew millions of dollars for 10 more years. So I should probably look at the mirror and think about that.
Well, it's like, everyone, what is it? Like, your prime for wrestling is what, 35 years old?
I think so.
Like my age?
I was just going to say, I think late 30s is
if I get into
prime.
Wrestling now, I'm top, nope. But if you
you got to put in 10 years and then you hit your prime,
and then you'll be GDP when you're 45 and you'll be hot.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Jordan, just wait until DDP's era really comes.
I literally can't wait. I love DDP, but I honestly only really know him from the yoga video.
He becomes like down the road.
He's legit.
He is the only babyface. Because the NWO is so cool that you can't root against them except for DDP.
Yeah, like DDP, no one's rooting for Lex Luger against the NWO. No one's rooting for anybody other than DDP.
DDP is the only guy in WCW as cool as the NWO. And they know it. And they use him that way. And it's fucking sick. But that's years from now. We'll talk about it in a couple of years.
I love it.
Lex's theme goes so fucking hard, dude.
Wait, the surf thing? Is that actually his theme?
Yes.
That's his theme. I think it's another one of those like generic rock riff 245. I agree. Because I've definitely heard that on like the MTV spring break shows as like commercial beds and stuff.
Yeah. It's a Warner public domain music library type track. But I think it's a good one. Is. But it fucking rips. And down the line, like when Lex's big moments happen and he's got that song will become, you'll get an emotional response from that song eventually.
Okay. I did write it down thinking that like, I wrote down, this can't be his entrance.
That's 100% his theme.
Speaking of entrance music, I have to bring this up one time. I feel like this is so fucking obvious and stupid. Uh-huh. But I gotta ask, was there like ever a time where like pomp and circumstance for Macho Man makes total like I love it now. When I first saw it, I thought it was jarring. I did kind of expect him to come out to actual Macho Man by the Village People. Did they ever consider it?
Pomp
Why not?
And circumstance because he's bigger than that song, Jordan. He's the real Macho Man. he doesn't want to be a macho man. He is.
Yeah, it's the, it's a different kind of macho. Yeah.
He is.
The two were never linked.
I for a minute I was like, well, maybe it's because like they're known as like a queer band or whatever, but like he picked the name, like the song existed before his wrestling name. So he clearly didn't care. And also he's so flamboyant anyway that maybe the vibe of the song matches
the vibe of the song definitely like plays into the gimmick a little bit.
Yeah.
But Pomp and Circumstance is so is like he is it's wrestling sick. Royalty and you could feel that from day one. Agreed. So I think there's no
1,000%.
I appreciate the perspective, Jordan, because for me personally, I just cannot see a Macho Man Randy Savage without Pomp and Circumstance. It just doesn't hit for me. I mean, I guess the NWO and when he joined the NWO, you know, like he'll get his NWO theme, but it's Pomp and Circumstance or not.
100%.
The guitar version is fucking great with the with the four part guitar mini.
It's fucking sick, dude.
So good.
This show is opening with a dream match. You know?
A pay-per-view main event. There's two pay-per-view main events
three
on the show.
To some people, you know?
For sure. I don't disagree. I have that in my notes too. And it's interesting because I was reading in The Observer and it's actually a critique that Dave Meltzer gives because he's like, they're blowing through all their big matches in the first month of the show. And I'll talk more about that when we get to the Flair and R thing. But as a fan, give it to me, baby.
Yeah, man. You got to keep up. We got a podcast to keep going. Give us the good stuff, really.
David, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
You fucking idiot.
They did just also, I think this is like really, like we can't really see how revolutionary this is because this has never happened. Like we've talked about this on our show before.
Yeah.
But like they're changing, they're completely changing weekly pro wrestling television because now WWE has to put forth pay-per-view type matches just to compete. And it is a very hot competition.
It's a good thing for wrestling as a whole. It was driving me crazy. A couple things. We got a dream match going on, you know, something that a year ago you thought you'd never see in your life. And you got Mongo thinking that wrestling commentary is just like disagreeing with the other commentator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Bobby would be like, boy, that Lex sure is intense. And Mongo would be like, no, no, he's not. And that's what Mongo's understanding of wrestling commentary is entirely.
It's so funny.
No one taught Mongo yes and.
Yes. Yeah, and so is Macho Man. That's all that would have taken in that interaction.
Honestly, a lot of wrestling improv is no because.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And then there was within 10 minutes, there was two. Not in that other place. You can't see this in that other place. The big boys.
Oh, I noticed, by the way, they did not give out results this week. Instead, they teased you to call the hotline 1-900-909-9900, no longer active, but I still remember the number, to get the results from Mike Tenay, which I thought was very interesting.
Insane. You think Mike is like, hey, here's what happens on Raw. Like, is it a personal call every time?
Oh no, it's an answering machine. Oh, wow. It's like you call a voicemail, essentially.
It sultrally tells you
like after dark music, like
the intensity really is off the charts in the beginning of this match.
Yes.
I think this rocks. Lex is getting booed.
Yes.
Showing subtle signs of being a heel. I really like there was a point where they were on the mat. Yeah, and he used to put a leg on the rope, which is a very heel move. I really like that.
Two-minute lockup in the beginning of this.
Yes.
Thing, right to a commercial.
Well, they go right to commercial. Yeah. And another thing that I read in The Observer was during the commercial, Lex Luger completely exposed the business because everyone in the front rows could hear him yelling to the ref, are we back from commercial yet? And the whole time he was doing that, they were in a headlock. So it was just nothing going on while they were in commercial. Can you imagine being a fan in the crowd? Nitro starts. There's Ric Flair. You don't hear him. A match starts with a 5-minute headlock. What the fuck is going on here?
Dude.
Holy shit. I have notes here at this point, Eric sucks ass.
Yo, the word. He's so bad.
In the throughout this entire match, he's just like, hey, Hogan is in traffic.
Oh, dude, thank you. I was gonna mention this. They were like, Hulk Hogan is about 10 minutes away. We're in telephone contact with his car, which is so funny that they're talking about car phones. This is the world champion. This is the franchise of the organization. Shouldn't he be the first one at the build? How are you showing up after the show starts?
That's a terrible look, man. I know the call time was 11 a.m. that day.
Yeah.
This motherfucker's like, here at 8:33 p.m.
Hogan is the highest paid person in the company. Show up at, like, you are presenting him as a babyface, but all of his actions are heel-like. Yes. You know, like a heel shows up late to the big show.
It's fucked up, man.
It is terrible.
Lex, the tides turn here when Lex presses Macho Man clean over his fucking head. Which is still impressive to little old me, you know?
There was some wild move, like Macho Man doing crazy bumps. He did a double axe handle from the top rope to the floor, landed right on his knees.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for his knee. His knees and the Giant's knees, because the Giant doesn't wear knee pads and he keeps doing those choke slams. I just felt bad. I really like the camera work when they're on the outside. I didn't notice this before, but the camera gets like right on them. It feels like you're standing right there.
Yeah.
It's something that WWF at the time did not do. And I thought, like, they're really trying these new production techniques to try to make it look modern and cool. Definitely. And I think it's really interesting to watch them figure it out.
And it's like, you know, it's good because WWF did everything that they did.
Right. Yeah. They changed it
up. I
watched this YouTube review show called OSW Review, Old School Wrestling Review.
Uh-huh.
It's these three guys from, I believe, Ireland or Scotland, but they have put me onto this tick that Lex Luger has that now I cannot unsee.
What's that?
Which is he's constantly adjusting his underside of his trunk, like by his hamstring.
Oh.
Not quite the dick. Like, it's almost like his ass is so big.
That's what I call a hamstring. You know what I'm saying?
His ass is so big that his trunks ride up on the bottom. And so he'll like move the trunk to like cover his ass back up. And he does this like at all points of the match. Like, he will just have been knocked out and he's playing dead, but still adjusting his trunk. Like, next time there's a Luger match, you can't miss it. Oh, I can't wait to see it. It's so wild.
But of course, this is WCW, guys.
Yes.
So we have to get into it. The beginning of a terrible finish.
Right.
Ref bump. I'm with you. I'm with you on what you're about to say. But how we got there is garbage. You know?
Go for it. Keep going.
The fucking ref bump into the Giant sauntering out to do this choke slam is just like
taking a sweet time.
Like, you're in that, you can hear the crowd just going, no, like this again. This is again. We're doing this again. It's week five, and there's already the whole thing of like, oh my God, this again.
And it's so funny because it's the same finish. It's the one finish Kevin Sullivan knows how to book.
Here's the thing. I kind of thought this was sick.
I
thought it was
the
good
ref
because
bump or the deadlift torture rack.
The deadlift.
I expected a messy finish. Like, it's the first, it's Lex and Macho on at the beginning. I know it's not going to be a clean win, but
yeah. And Lex has to win because his career is on the line. We should mention this,
dude,
which is like second week back in the company. He's not leaving.
This is the only time I've seen the torture rack not look a little silly.
Oh, and dude, it looked crazy. And now that you've failed to do it, but you can really be like, oh, that's actually fucking crazy to pull that off.
It is fucking crazy. That's how it's supposed to look with them like flat.
They're
bending
on their
them
back,
on his neck,
on your shoulders.
Yeah.
And he's bending your back around his neck.
That's the thing. Yes. It's supposed to be. That's why it's this.
Yeah. That's why this
you're
is the
torturing
move.
Them in reverse.
Right.
They're not downward, supposed to bend this way. Yeah, it's like you're bending the spine.
Right. The thing that makes it look a little silly is that he's doing little hops. I can't look away. When his little legs are going up and it's just like, it looks funny.
Here's what we're going
to
do.
Sorry. Are you going to torture Rack?
I'm going to rack. Next time we're together, I'm going to rack you. And you're going to get down and be like, it's a great move.
Yeah.
It's an effective maneuver. You're right.
Here's the, but I got to like, you also like how Macho doesn't fall is he hooks into Lex's chin.
Yeah.
To like stay a little balanced.
A little, yeah.
So the whole pressure of the move is entirely on Lex Luger's jaw.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
You got to give it up to the torture rack, man. Give it up.
I do. Here's the thing. Conceptually, yeah, looks super brutal. It's just that he's hopping around a little bit. It looks a little silly.
It does. This segment ends and they cut to commentary not knowing what to say.
Before we move on, I just want to mention, I have a note that the giant's hair looked extra fluffy today.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like he had just conditioned.
He did.
He looked like a Minnesota housewife who had just gotten the hair curled. Like, it was so beautiful.
It was so clean. He hit the dry bar.
Which is nuts because they are in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, Denver, that's right.
It's a dry climate. He's not getting help from southern humidity.
He just stepped out of that shower and they were like, what are you doing all wet? We got to get you in the ring.
Yeah.
Get him towel him. Got him down.
He's in
there.
The ring.
Yeah, you had to take those curls out.
That's right.
That's it why he was beautiful. Sauntering so slowly. Right. He was just finishing his hair treatment.
They cut to commentary after this match. Nobody knows what to say. So, of course, Bobby the fucking Brain, the only guy who knows what he's doing, comes in to save it. That was just nice to see. It was like, oh, Bobby's just flexing on you motherfuckers, letting you know he's the best.
Yeah, he's the greatest.
Disco Inferno comes right out.
Hated this. Hated this so much.
Disco being like a staple of Nitro
is so crazy.
Is crazy. Like, we're looking back that we just started the show and he's been on it all the time. And now it's just a thing we have to suffer.
They have such depth in the mid-card, and they have 43 minutes of primetime television. Yeah. 7 of those minutes, recaps already. So, like, this is who, of the limited minutes they have, this is who they think they should feature. Like,
we gotta get him out there dancing before we get there.
Yeah.
We gotta find a spot for him to dance. Okay,
it makes no sense to me.
Before everyone gets bored by all this wrestling, we gotta get this dancing out there.
Get our dancing guy out there. He'll know what to do.
Dude, when it cut to like what they use for Eddie Guerrero's music, how the fuck? It is a miracle that Goldberg avoided coming out to like, if I was a rich man,
like Hava Nagila.
How would he barely make it?
Eddie actually gets a pretty sick entrance theme.
Goldberg?
Later on. Eddie.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Goldberg's theme is
Goldberg
sick.
Is always sick. Top five all the time.
Yeah. You know? I feel like Dean Malenko's music, though.
Dean Malenko's
from
music
the bat,
is scary.
That's another one of those generic Warner themes, but it's a good one.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah,
it lets you know.
I remember
this
really liking
it. Choke you.
That his Dean Malenko's entrance music in this episode was like scoring to a silent movie, a little bit
like a scary like
dur,
psycho.
Dur.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like dun, 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 dun. It's scary.
Yeah.
They cut to this. So I mean, look, guys, this the magnitude of what we're seeing here
is insane.
Eddie Guerrero versus Dean Malenko for free. On TV and Eddie's Nitro debut.
Yeah. Incredible. So I want to put a little context into this.
Please.
This is the fall. In the spring and summer, Eddie and Dean have been having like some of the best matches of the year for 95 in ECW. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of those feuds that all the tape traders and all the newsletters are like, you got to see this. This is modern wrestling.
Really?
This is modern. This is like changing the game. The modern equivalent I could put it to like with today's time is how people are like, yo, Vikingo is crazy.
Right.
Vikingo is insane. You got to see Vikingo. And The difference is Eric Bischoff immediately signs them. And yeah. the only place they could wrestle is WCW, whereas yeah. Vikingo can still, you could see him at an indie show, whatever, like right. AEW signs him, but he's still free to go wherever. Bischoff, this is a pattern you will see very, very often in the next few years, which is something hot happens in ECW and Bischoff poaches it and yeah. recreates it slightly less good.
Which, I mean, I think, and you know, it's like on his end, he tries to use those things more a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And the network or somebody else will be like, well, we got to prioritize Hogan and all that.
Well, but, I mean, yeah, like they've totally buried them immediately. This match by cutting to Hogan, as they're getting started. And it was so good. I was so into it.
I was so in.
They're also they start with like, don't blink. And then cut to Hogan and Jimmy stumbling over exposition in a mall parking lot. Why
couldn't they have done that segment right before the match instead of the Disco Inferno thing, you know?
Agreed. When they cut to the Saturday night's main event clip. And it's Tony Schiavone and Dusty on commentary.
Oh, hold on. That was main event that they cut to.
Why isn't this... on this show, why are you showing me that Eric and Mongo suck by putting these two perfect guys talking to each other over this incredible clip?
I want to point out, so they showed this clip. So it was Jushin Liger versus Eddie Guerrero on the main event, which is their Sunday show, which is a crazy match. And funny enough, when they showed this match, the crowd had no idea who these two people are. So they were completely silent for an insane match. And then Eddie Guerrero, they show footage of Eddie Guerrero winning the match with the frog splash, which Tony Schiavone incorrectly calls a jackknife.
Yeah. He's getting better.
But I'm like, okay, so they're showing you who Eddie Guerrero is. They're establishing his finisher. I guess that means he's going to win, and he's going to win with his finisher. Mm. But he didn't. Why did they show us the footage of the frog splash if he doesn't win with the frog splash?
I think just because it's like, in 1995, that's like the most groundbreaking wrestling move ever seen.
I agree. You know? I agree. Why didn't he show it to the Nitro crowd? Why didn't he show it to the Denver crowd?
So that they, obviously that little
end, I guess they're saving it.
Yeah, they're going to be like, hey, we're not done. They want to recreate the ECW thing. So they're like, we're not going to give you the full finish. We're going to let these guys keep fucking each other up.
Unfortunately, their next match is on Saturday night, which we are not doing a watch along.
Son of a bitch.
The very first thing, the thing with Eddie pushing and then Dean doing the back roll into the kip up, was better than anything on any part of Nitro ever up to now.
Yep.
That one second.
They're so both sharp. Of their kip ups were, I was like, I'm in. This is going to be the greatest match I've ever seen.
In my notes, I have "shut the fuck up, Mongo" in all caps.
Okay, I have in my notes. He goes, "These guys fly around more than them vultures flying over dead meat." What does that mean? I have in my notes.
Mongo says, "Like they got a book called 101 Sex Positions." Oh my god,
that's when I wrote "Shut the fuck up, Mongo." Like he's talking about the Kama Sutra during Eddie versus Dean.
Where's he coming up with 1,001? And literally you hear Bischoff say, like, don't do it,
don't
Bray.
Don't do it, Bobby. don't do it.
You can just see, I think what he didn't mean, don't do a retort, Bobby. Like Bobby had a gun.
Yeah.
He was going to pull up Mongo away.
I have in my notes also, fuck everything that isn't this.
Yeah, this was so good. I was loving. I could watch this shit forever. Still, the commentary so fucking. At one point, I think Bobby Heenan says that's something you would only see in Acapulco.
That was Eric.
Oh, that was Eric. Okay,
and then Bobby retorts with, "Well, this is Nitro."
I was like, wait, is Acapulco some sort of 1999 television series?
No, it's
like, is there some deep
it's a city in Mexico that
No, he literally meant Acapulco, Mexico. Yeah. What the fuck is wrong with these people?
They're insane. And they just keep cutting to fucking Hogan talking about Hogan. Mongo does say, this is like the first good thing he's ever said. He's like, now this is true wrestling.
You're right. Even this got even over with Mongo,
which establishes that in 1995, people looked at this and went, oh, this is really good wrestling.
Yeah.
And still choose to put things that aren't this on the, as the main event and as the big marquee money thing. What the fuck? You could just do this.
It's so nuts. They also, I also got so frustrated because there was that section where I was frustrated and also fascinated because there's like Brain giving Bischoff shit for having a meeting with George Steinbrenner.
Dude, and like, they're talking about Bischoff, the Yankees the whole show.
The whole show. But like, I just like Bischoff was like, listen, George knows a lot about wrestling. And all I could picture was like Seinfeld, George Steinbrenner going like, oh, I love that wrestling machine.
I know all about wrestling.
I know all about wrestling. I need you to go out
and get me a wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to sign him.
Go out and get me a drop toe hold. but I love, like just him going like, I love all the wrestlers. Hulk Hogan, Billy Goldberg, Randy Savage, Billy Goldberg, Lex Luger, Billy Goldberg.
This was the best match in Nitro history so far.
Totally.
And it's not even close. I even like the finish once again showing us.
Yeah.
Undercard matches can show us that a surprise roll up or just a pinning hold can be exciting.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Eric concludes the match by saying, I hope you had your calculator with you if you were counting holds and counter holds. Why do you need a calculator to count, Eric Bischoff? You dumb motherfucker.
Just, he's like, this will be good, guys. Shh, I got something. And then hits him with a fucking line.
Bring out your calculators to count to four.
Oh, man. Anytime, any place, brother, really got me out of Eddie. Just the nice handshake letting you know that these guys are not done. Two of the best technical wrestlers to ever live. This is a very special thing to just get to see on this stupid fucking TV show where they cut to a Hogan in a neck brace. Oh my God, dude. The segment with Hogan talking to Jimmy Hart was like
insane.
It was like a new Metallica song, you know?
Yes.
Where they do the segment and then just do the segment again.
Yes.
They don't change anything. They literally said the same thing both twice in a row.
Yep. Weakest first of all, shirt tear of all time. I popped for Stinky, which is
I know. You
I
did.
Guess like
big stinky giant. Big time. Stinky giant. I wrote in my thing. Big Every stinky time. Giant time.
I at one do point want he said, I want a big stinky giant shirt. To be honest. but I,
coming
yeah,
soon to NotFest store is the Knitro big Knitro. Stinky giant shirt.
I love.
We're gonna have such fucking twisted ass merch.
I know.
A war crime
goes great with a war crime shirt.
Goes great with the war crimes. Yeah,
WCW war crimes bandana and a big giant shirt.
Perfect. Yeah.
There was one thing I wrote that he said: double lung transplant, brother. I don't know. He was using the word brother
every
so
time.
Much.
That was awesome.
I wrote. He says brother the way Steve Austin says what?
Yeah.
You know,
he uses it as punctuation in this promo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a comma? Question mark?
And
you know what this little kid said to me, brother? He said, brother, it's the parentheses.
Dude, oh, yeah, little Jeremy Pittman or whatever the kid's like, name what? Was.
Like, is he talking about Sergeant Pittman?
The guy? No. Yeah. Like,
what? I was hanging out with little Sergeant Craig Pittman last week.
Did not understand why they brought this up. Okay, so now he comes out, like you said, completely repeats the promo they did backstage because they have so much time to kill. They could air this segment twice.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever seeing Hogan look this lean. He looks completely off the juice.
Yeah.
He looks like super, super skinny. And I'm so bored with the segment. And I'm like, this is such a waste of time.
But then.
And then immediately. 180.
Yeah.
What is this? There's a woman with a cane. It was Gene Okerlund.
Gene goes, there's a woman.
Wait,
with a cane. And I was, dude, Kevin was fucking slaying in this dress. I took a pic.
I agree.
This should be his gimmick.
This is what this is the definition of serving cunt, as the kids say. Oh, that's good shit.
He was serving that cunt for sure.
Slay, yas. Yeah.
I know.
Yas, devil. Yas. Like,
with everything devil. We've established about Kevin Sullivan, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, okay, I can't give him any of the top guys, so I gotta like let my guys get buried, and I'm gonna get buried. Also, I'm going to get to trim his fucking lips with a beard trimmer live on TV. I knew he was loving it.
The best part about this is that the trimmer, always in a wrestling shaving segment, the trimmers always stop working at a certain point.
Yeah,
these ran out of batteries right as they I texted this to you. It ends with Hulk Hogan with a fucking Hitler mustache.
I have that in my notes. I have it in my notes.
Hitler mustache.
I have it in my notes. What a heel move if they had just left a Hitler mustache on Hogan.
That would fucking rock.
That way,
they did.
That would have been. I am. I was dying.
Did you guys notice that the doctor's shirt was ripped?
So good.
This is so good.
The doctor's shirt
is pro wrestling.
Had a big pit hole in it.
I didn't notice that. Awesome. That's great. I couldn't believe the pop that Brian Knobbs and Jerry Sags got when they tried to come and save Hulk Hogan. Like, the fans love the Nasty Boys. Yeah. That was shocking crazy. To me. And I don't know if you noticed, there was like a little Easter egg for longtime fans, which is that Kevin Sullivan tells the Zodiac to cut Hulk Hogan's hair. And the Zodiac, of course, used to be Brutus the Barber Beefcake, who was Hulk Hogan's best friend.
Yeah.
And the Zodiac says, no, yeah, I will not. And then they just drop it. But the announcers, they make mention of it for a second and then they move on. But like, this was totally something they were trying to establish, that the Zodiac didn't want to cut Hulk Hogan's hair.
Right. I don't care.
And I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah.
Dude. I lost my barber's license when I signed here.
Yeah. They
Giant looked like $1 million killing the Nasty Boys the other team. I forgot who they were supposed to face.
The American Males.
American Males, of course. How could I forget?
Obviously.
I still can't. I also cannot get over Gene just going, it's a woman.
Yeah. Jordan just left the room.
Walking back in the
room. He's coming back in. Headphones are coming on.
With a cane.
Yeah, I popped hard for one.
Popped hard. And then so he went, that's no woman. That's Norman Bates.
Yes. Dude, if you just changed Taskmaster's gimmick to be like the lady from Triplets of Belleville, I'm fucking in.
Yeah, that would be much
more. I'm all in. Much more compelling. I'd be there.
Obviously, it's main event time, guys. Mm-hmm. We got the rematch. Ric Flair versus Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson cut that perfect promo last week. Ric started the show on the headset. This thing is starting hot.
Some interesting behind the scenes goss about this match.
Hit it, Rob.
Yes.
You may have noticed last week Ric Flair wasn't on the show, and I mentioned it was because he was getting eye surgery.
Right.
And apparently his doctor had told him, you cannot do any sort of crazy physical activity for a month. Last week, the ratings for Nitro went down. Like, I don't know if you remember, but like Raw beat it by a significant, like over a point.
Yeah.
And they panicked and they said, Ric, we need you back on TV. And they brought Ric back against doctor's orders. He could barely see out of one eye. And if he had taken one wrong bump, he could have been permanently blind in one eye.
He took many wrong bumps. He took only wrong bumps this whole time. Yeah. So that's extra crazy. Why is he taking spine busters? The spine buster was like 2 minutes in.
And they're doing a cage match next week. So it's so fucking insane that this match.
You were 100% right about like wrong bumps. I was like, this is pre-CGI footage of the fight from The Irishman. This is brutal.
It was crazy. The like back, big back body drop thing when Arn does like the walk away out of it. Look, I was like, damn, that was brutal.
Yeah, they are
now we're hitting that.
They are falling wrong.
Oh my God. I really liked Rick putting Arn in the figure four and Arn knowing that arsenal so well that he was right aware where that fucking the rope was.
Yeah, they did it great.
That was the fastest like rope break out of the figure four I've ever seen.
So good.
I have in my notes here in all capital letters, OJ verdict.
I wrote that too. Completely thrown off by Eric Bischoff plugging CNN the next morning to get that OJ verdict. Wow, they came up with that really quick. Like,
I can't believe what? This is the night before the verdict.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's you got to so tune into insane. CNN tomorrow, guys. Check out that's CNN. Check it out. This is crazy. It's crazy. It's going to be insane going back to these things and hearing.
It really puts into context how long ago this was.
It does.
Another funny thing on commentary is Bobby Heenan and Eric Bischoff talking about Brian Pillman, but accidentally saying Pittman, which was the last name of the special needs kid that Hulk Hogan mentioned.
The little boy that Hulk Hogan hangs out with.
Yeah.
best friend, brother.
I thought this was an okay match. Like it wasn't necessarily great, but it got the story forward. Yet again,
incredible
Mongo McMichael,
for a blind guy.
Yes. With that context, phenomenal. Mongo McMichael, yet again, with absolutely random sayings. If you're on an island, you're in trouble. They said Atlantis was an island, and you know what happened to that place.
Oh my God.
And then there's like a pregnant pause, like, what? And then Bobby Heenan chimes in, Atlanta is a city in Georgia. Bobby! Thank you!
Bobby is God. Bobby is the greatest person to ever use words.
He stuck... How... I would have quit.
if
it were me, I might have quit. At that part, I'd be like, guys, I'm out. I can't do this anymore.
That shit sucks. But Eric does do a pretty good job explaining, oh man, they better use some of that money to find a friend, because the odds are against him, and now he's got this cage match coming up because this stupid the non-finish thing was intense. Like, Rick and Brian were beating the shit out of each other. It was awesome.
Brian's always so great. I wrote, holy shit, cage match next week in Chicago. They're in the Rosemont Horizon. Usually voted like the best crowd in the country.
Yeah.
And they're going to be doing a fucking cage match week 6 of Nitro. I'm so excited as a fan. Ass. I'm very pumped. And Sting is back next week. I think next week's line, like this last moment of the show, which once again, I'm like, oh shit, we're over again.
Yeah.
Like that's it. But it got me so hyped for next week. Cause Sting is back, the cage match, and Sabu. Sabu is back.
I need Sting. I need Alex Wright back out there with his hamstring. Mm-hmm. I need it.
Johnny B. Badd is back at Sunday night's main event. Too bad.
Oh yes. That,
huh? Oh no, we don't get Johnny B. Badd. Motherfucker.
I think he's on Hall.
I think
Havoc.
He's on the pay-per-view. Yeah, he's on
good.
The pay-per-view.
Don't worry.
Incredible.
He You'll does not it. Miss for like a year of this show. It's crazy. It's only bangers.
It's so insane.
It's crazy, man. I see why Vince McMahon was like, if I don't get this guy, I'm gonna fucking kill myself.
And then what did he do with him?
I've
never heard of this guy.
Sable, he put over Sable.
Yeah, he was being pushed as like a big kind of almost main event guy.
Golden Glove
boxer. Then his wife, he was like a former boxer. And then his wife, Sable, started getting really popular and it absolutely killed his push. Like she overshadowed him to the point where his gimmick was like the jealous boyfriend. And then he was kind of just like the Marty Jannetty to her Shawn Michaels.
And then she powerbombed him.
Yeah, he put her over. I mean, he didn't have to agree
put
to
her
that.
Over. And it was
but he definitely
over.
Put her over.
Nobody ever talked about him again.
Wow.
Yeah.
A few other notes, backstage notes. Vader, who hasn't been on the show except for the intro.
Right.
Still under contract, currently suspended without pay. Okay. And this is really interesting. They're trying to hold him back as much as they could to prevent him from going to WWE, which he eventually gets to by January.
And it sucks, I believe he shit, so who cares?
Debuts at the Royal Rumble, and they completely fumble the push for Vader because they don't understand.
Yeah.
And interestingly, Dave Meltzer writes, you think we hated the Hogan cutaway? He claims he had gotten more calls than he had ever gotten about a TV show about that cutaway, about how wrestlers were upset about the cutting away.
Wow.
And also, they were confiscating all the signs that anybody brought and were giving people corporate-approved WCW signs.
Like Lex Rocks or something?
Yeah, WCW, where the big boys play.
And that's why everyone had a foam Hulk Hogan in the front row?
Probably.
Right.
Yeah, those
and
were gifts,
people,
for sure.
People brought Sharpies and started making signs on the back of the signs that WCW gave them. And then there had to be a guy out there monitoring to make sure. So let's look for some good signs next week. That could be something we could keep an eye out
on. So that is remains a thing going forward for a bit?
Oh, yeah. It's a big thing going on. And at WWF tapings as well, they're taking away signs mentioning Hogan, Luger, and WCW. So I think conversely, they don't want any like pro WWF signs or anything like that. Yeah, it really is. All
propaganda.
Well, if you think about it, it's a TV taping, you know, they want to control the environment.
You should. I mean, they're honestly maybe should be some kind of sign control at like AEW and stuff. Cause some of them are like,
some of them are brutal.
I've seen some
gnarly shit.
I've seen some shit I cannot unsee.
But then also we get MJF closes his fridge with his hips, which is hilarious.
Incredible.
he's got good hits.
Was that this week?
That was this week.
Oh, I missed it.
It's a good
one.
I
do love that.
What do you have star ratings for the matches, Rob?
Oh, it's always so hard for me to like between the threes. I guess I would say a 3-star.
No, I meant like the observer star.
The observer one. Does he have a? Yes, he gave
my star rating is it was good.
Yeah.
Or it was not good.
Dope
he gave 2.5 stars Rocked. To the Eddie Guerrero Dean Malenko match, saying it was good.
Okay,
like he gave it a positive review. I think that's fair because he's seen their 5-star matches. Yeah. So like this was just barely a taste.
It was 8 minutes.
The other
long,
matches,
it's right. Cut to Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
there's a roll up finish. Yeah, I get it.
It's not on them for sure. I think that's really the only match he rated.
Oh, the rest are results. No rating.
The rest are just duds.
Wow.
Yeah. Because he does kind of like a summary. It's not like with the pay-per-views, he'll do like the full recap.
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Good Nitro across the board.
Best one so far, I think.
And a build to a Ric Flair Arn Anderson cage match next week.
Sick. Mm-hmm.
I can't
and we're,
wait.
We're
for
getting
that.
We're getting close to the Halloween Havoc. The commercials have been pretty sick.
Commercials have been crazy.
Even though I know what happens, I'm starting to sort of look forward to this monster truck match.
I am too. You told me it's bad, and I don't care.
It's objectively bad, but I'm very much looking forward to it.
I'm stoked. I'm over the moon. I want more of these already.
I'm under the moon. I could not be...
You are on land.
I am completely, the moon is right above me, and I think it looks like shit, you know? That's how I'm currently feeling.
The dog shit moon. Well, folks, that's this week. Thank you all for joining us. Get in the Hard Lord Discord.
Yeah.
To talk about Nitro, to watch Nitro with friends, because this is all about friendship at the end of the day, huh?
It is.
If you can't talk about Nitro with your friends, what can you talk about?
That's right.
Because remember, if you don't talk about Nitro with your friends, you're alone on an island. And we all know what happened to Atlantis.
Yeah. Atlantis,
sank
Georgia,
under,
baby.
Sank the under capital. The moon.
Get your big stinky giant shirt soon, probably. And your WCW War Crimes shirt.
Yeah. Send us your fan art soon. To Nitro Art. Canitro Art. Canitro Pod is the handle.
All right.
100%.
See you next week, everybody. We love you so much. Bye.
Bye.